Good morning to you all, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor would like to send you a note of thanks for worshiping with us today. Our second worship service today at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon will be led by our brother Russell Goodman, and all are invited to participate. At the 4 p.m. discipleship class this afternoon, Pastor Otero again will be expanding on teaching the use of the electronic concordance, the computer, of course, to further enhance Bible study. At the 5 p.m. service this afternoon, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will show the Lord Jesus as the prophet of God in the book of Deuteronomy. Also, we'd like to call your attention to the insert in your bulletin concerning the Love Banquet on Sunday, September 24th, and we encourage you to come to that and to sign up for that. Our scripture reading for the month, which is printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 70, verse 4. It reads, "All those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Let us begin our worship now with singing of hymn number 34, Invisible, Immortal, God Only Wise. An announcement concerning the Love Banquet. It's not in September, it's in February. So please note that. Okay, as we continue our worship, please turn to hymn number 127, Hallelujah, What a Savior.
Thank you.
stand now as we sing hymn number 129, At the Cross.
Our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of our High Priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter said, to whom should we go? You have words of everlasting life. And Father, we are thankful this morning that as a body of believers, as the Church of the Living God, we are gathering together to worship the Lord Jesus on the first Sunday of the month of February, the day of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the celebration of the new covenant who Jesus instituted till he come again. We are a grateful, Father, that as a body of believers, as a church body, we have this feast whereby we can proclaim in a symbolic manner that Jesus gave his body in lieu of the Lamb, and that Jesus gave his blood in lieu or in substitution of ourselves. And Father, more than grateful we are that we have the light and the Spirit of God to enlighten us to believe that Jesus took our place. How grateful we are, because otherwise we know that now that we have been born blind and dead. But because of Jesus, now we see. And because, as you told Moses when he went to the mountain and Sinai, and he wanted a sign from you, and Father, you said, I'm a God of mercy and a God of grace. And Father, we who believe in the Lord Jesus and belong to the church of the living God can say with Moses, thank you, Father, for being a God of mercy and a God of grace. And we want to proclaim through the ceremony of the Lord's Supper that there is a place where you can go and ask for forgiveness above your sins. And there is a Savior who have no distinctions of people, whatever nationality or race or whatever you are, He is able to rescue, He is able to give us salvation. And nevertheless, Father, we need to come. We need to come to Him. And Father, we remember ourselves when people invite us and told us about Jesus. And we were as dead as can be, and we never heard it until the day that you clicked that part of our mind, until the day that you opened our soul and our spirit to listen. And we pray that through the preaching of God's word, and through the choir singing praises to your name, and through the reading of the scripture, that people may be wake up, and they may come to Jesus our Lord. We as a church have one goal in mind, that people may know Jesus as Savior and Lord of their life. And, oh God, help us to do so even this morning. As a church body, we have a family. And that family sometimes receive hurts. And we pray for Donna's mother's family, where an aunt went to be with the Lord, Paulette. And we pray, oh God, that you may bless the family with the real thoughts of God. The Bible says, blessed are the death of the righteous. And Father, may them think about it, that may they use this occasion for those who are not believers to know that there is a day of reckoning, a day in which we're going to be before your presence, a day in which we have to give an account of our life unless Jesus Christ took our place and give an account for ourselves. And Father, we pray for Rod Nichols. I still remember vividly the day where my good brother Ortiz and myself, we went over there and left a tape from the church, a videotape, and left a Bible. And then in that second visit, he called us brothers in Christ. We were shocked. Father, sometimes we pray for somebody to be saved, and when we see it again and the person is saved, we'll be shocked of the quick response from his heart. And we remember the day that this church together went to a place here in Morning Hill and baptized our brother. Lord, what a joy. And now he is in a very difficult situation with cancer all over the body with no hope whatsoever. But Father, that body will be new in heaven. And if our brother depart, we know that he's going to be with the Lord. And it is a celebration in one sense, and it is the departure that brings sadness to others. And so we pray for his mother and for his brother who take care of him. And Father, we pray for his son too, who he is not yet one of the children of God. And we pray that the testimony of Ron will bring his son into the church of the living God, to the kingdom of the living God. Father, I'm grateful that even though Raquel and I took a vacation, I knew the pulpit was going to be in good hands. I remember when 20 years ago I met Ramil. And I remember how we worked together and studied together and discipled together. And I knew that Ramil has a gift from you, Father, and how privileged I am and how privileged is this church and to having Ramil and his wife, Nancy, and his two wonderful children, Joshua and Jordan, with us. And Father, I know the church was blessed because our brother loves you and he knows the scripture. And Father, thank you for the disposition and preparing always somebody to take the stand and to bring Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior into the ministry of the gospel. Father, I'm more than Happy too to know that Chris Floyd have sent an email this morning. Her mother is on recovery and is responding to medicine. Thank you, Father, for that. Our bodies decay. I know that because I was tired, and I never was tired when I was young, but even in vacation, I got tired. And so, Lord, that means our body decay. But Father, how wonderful it is. The older we get, our spirit get closer and closer to you, and is full of joy and strength as we read the scripture, and as we praise your name, and as we fellowship with the body of believers within the local church. How precious it is, oh God, for all of us to be together. So, Father, we pray now that you bless us as Jabez prayed. He said, Lord, bless me. Expand our boundaries. Lord, I'm going to pray this morning for me. Bless me and expand our boundaries. And Lord, I don't want to tell you what our boundaries are. We are on radio, live. We are on internet. We are in the Tate ministry. We are in the CD ministry. So many ministries. Lord, expand whatever you want to. Do what you want. But bless me so that I can see in my life expand the blessings of the mighty power of God. And Lord, our offering always take care of our expenses. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My friends, this is Pastor Otero, and is speaking to you from the back of the church, and is bringing to you the good and wonderful news that our church is alive and is really enjoying the fellowship of God's people here. It's a full service this morning, and that brings happiness to my life. But also I want to let you know that I'm thinking on you right there in your home, wherever you are, or perhaps in the Tate ministry, or perhaps behind the computer listening to these broadcasts. And so I pray that the service this morning will enhance your Christian walk. And if there's any need, remember, the church has a phone number, 408-778-2595. You call us, you leave your message over there, and we will be in touch with you, praying and counseling with the divine word of the living God. May God bless you. May God give you strength. May God empower his church till he come. So let's join the service in progress.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 17 through 29. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 580. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 29. Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The Master saith, My time is at hand, I will keep the Passover at thy house with thy disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Amen. Blessed is the word of God. Our Father, we thank you that you are a God of mercy, of grace, and of justice. We thank you for such a great plan of salvation, sending your Son to be our substitute, to bear the wrath for our sins in our place. We thank you for your word, that by the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, we came to understand and believe the Bible, that we were without hope, and except through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be worthy of our calling, being obedient to your word. We give thanks, Father, for the safe return of Pastor and Mrs. Otero. We pray now that you would bless your servant, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the message of the good news that Christ came to save sinners. We pray for those listening here and on the radio and the internet who remain in unbelief, that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see, that they might come to believe in their only hope of salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in his name. Amen. Please be seated.
Our text for our meditation today is going to be on the 26th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And of course, being the first Sunday, according to the tradition of our church, we will celebrate the Lord's Supper. And I have preached on the Lord's Supper for 29 years on the first Sunday. And I know the passages, but I promise one thing. I have studied the passage afresh and again, putting everything I know away. And I brought my Greek Bible with me so that we can look diligently to this passage and understand the institution of the Lord's Supper that will take place in about 35 minutes. As our brother read from verse 17 all the way to verse 29, that's the paragraph in the original. And there is a break, bigger like a finger of mine, and then start verse 30. And there is a break on the top, so it's so clear in any manuscript that you have to be blind in order to miss it. So the Lord's Supper is instituted. That's the title that many scholars have given to the paragraph. And as I read the paragraph just before vacation, and I read it again, and as I came to this building early this morning, and opened my Greek Bible and read it again, I asked God to bless me so that you can be blessed. I had three outstanding remarks to make about the paragraph. Number one, I'd like you to see it is background. That will cover verse 17 almost to verse 25. The background to the Lord's Supper. It's important to know that so that we can know if why we do not bring a lamb into the building, cut their head and sprinkle the bread on the altar. The background. Then it is institution. The precise moment when Jesus changed history. And then it is implication. What's the meaning on the Lord's Supper? It's background, it is institution, and it is implication. And it's going to be as simple as possible because we're going to take verse by verse by verse by verse, start in verse 17 and end in verse 29. And again, when I read in the Bible, no, means no, in Greek and Hebrew and Japanese and Chinese and Filipino, no means no. And when you read the word yes, that word means yes, yes, yes. So if we understand each other in that way, we're going to have a great revival in our heart. Now if you say the word no means yes and the word yes means no, I guarantee to you, you're going to be confused. And with that kind of a simplicity, reading and believing what we read, may God bless us as we review something that you know so well, and I hope that today will bring joy into your heart. First, it's background. There are two things in the background. Number one, the Passover feast was at hand. And let me explain it. And I even went into the book of histories, and there is only one historian talks about this. And years ago, my good brother Russell gave me two books on Josephus. I don't know if you remember, they were very, very, I think one of the first governors of this state have those books and a very thick leather. And Josephus is the only historian from the time of Jesus from the Roman Empire. And so I have the pleasure to review again what he thought of the Lord's Supper. And so I'm going to mix some of the things to explain you what happened after the Lord's Supper. It was instituted in Exodus, and through all these years, how the people did the Passover at the time of Jesus. Now, the Passover feast was at hand. Number one, a place need to be secure. Look at verse 17. Now, the first day of the feast of the unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? Now, the Bible talks about the first day of the unleavened bread, and then the disciple talks about the Passover. Well, the Passover feast falls on the 14th day of Nisan. It's just between March and April in our calendar. And the Passover feast is the commemoration of the deliverance from the 10th plague, the death of the firstborn, and was followed by 7 days of unleavened bread from the 15th to the 21 in the month of Nisan to commemorate Israel's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. So the Passover lamb commemorates
the breaking of the tyranny and the power of Egypt and the unleavened bread, now the freedom they have together. The two feasts were together in the Old Testament. Now, Josephus and his book Antiquities tell us that in the New Testament, in the times of Jesus, the people combine the Passover feast together with the unleavened bread, and they have only 8 days of celebration. Thus, the Passover, the 14th of Nisan, could be terminated the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And this is what they did. They start with the Passover, and then they end with the Unleavened Bread. And so this is the occasion. It is not a mistake in the Bible when in verse 17 says, the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and then they said the Passover. Both talking about the same celebration. One is the beginning, and the other is the end. So a place need to be secure. Now, a place was chosen in verse 18. And he said, he is Jesus, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master said, my time is at hand. Now, look at the words again. Tell him, the teacher says, I am going to celebrate the Passover at your house. As you see, this verse said, I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. You see the picture here? It's like you're walking in the street and somebody says, sir, stop. Tonight I'm going to have dinner in your home. Just prepare a good dinner, will you? Just exactly like that. A place was needed. And Jesus owns the entire universe and owns your place and my place. And he said, go to that man and tell him tonight we're going to have a dinner there. Now, in the book of theologies, the name of the man in the Bible is not given. But look, he said, telling the teacher said, and King James said the master, the didaskalos. Said, the teacher said. So Jesus spoke with authority, like a king speaks to his subjects. It can be concluded from this that the man addressed was one of Jesus' disciples. Also, is confirmed by the word, the teacher said. You see, my appointment time is near. And that's the word the only disciples are familiar with. So Jesus used expressions which only make sense to one who believes. That's why the Bible doesn't make sense to an unbeliever. The Bible used expressions that to an unbeliever, to someone who God did not open his eyes of the spirit in his heart and in his soul, doesn't make sense. Somebody told me in the spas, we were working out in the morning in my vacation, and was a British lady who told me, you're still believing in that Jesus, a man riding a donkey who tried to control the world 2,000 years after he died. So, young lady, I said, if you will know, who is that man who ride in a donkey and came into Jerusalem? And the people say, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King of Jerusalem. If you will know that man, you will not speak in that way. We in England, she said, try to get rid of him. I said, not only in England. In America, Satan tried to get rid of him. In South America, Satan tried to get rid of him. But they can. And so here it is, the beautiful part. A place was chosen. Jesus chose the place. And then a place has been ready. Look in verse 19. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, I want to know that Matthew said, and the disciples, plural, did. Now, I want you to know that only two disciples prepared the Passover. Take a look in your Bible in the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 14 and in verse 13. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 14 and verse 13. Matthew's used a general word, the disciples. But in Matthew's 14:13, the Bible said, and he sent for two of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a young man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. And so it's the same process and the same thing. So the Bible informs us that there were two. And look, not only tell us there were two disciples, he give us the name of the disciples. You are in Mark, go to Luke Gospel in chapter 22 and in verse 8. And he sent Peter and John saying, go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Now, that's another, I'm reading from Luke Gospel, I'm reading from Luke Gospel chapter 22 and verse 8. Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 8. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. So, you see, when you interpret the Bible, you need to look all the passages that talks about the same situation. In God, in his mystery, he tell us in a general way, in one place. He tell us a little more detail here. And he then, suddenly he wants to, he open up all the details in another. It's always good to have a concordance of the Gospels. It's very well used. And they have all the parallel passages so that you can read it together. So that's for your information. A place has been ready, and now the place is secure. And finally, the place is occupied. Going back to Matthew's chapter 26, and in verse 20, the Bible said, now when the even was come, he sat down with the 12. So we have no wanderings anymore. The Passover feast was at hand, and Jesus prepared that Passover feast and a sprinkle of his fingers, and he said, this is what we're going to do. You go to this man, and we go to his house, and it's done, and it's already in the house. Boy, when God wants to do something, he doesn't wait for you. When God wants to do something, he don't ask us permission to do it. He does it. In the background then, Jesus took control of the Passover. Now, in the middle of the Passover, and I'm going to relate to you how the Passover was made in a minute. In the middle of that feast, it's like Christmas for you, when the whole family is sitting together around the table, and the joy of being, oh, how are you? And everybody's coming from different places, and we are all together. In that moment, Jesus makes an announcement. So let's break the announcement in pieces. Verse 21. Jesus alert them of what is coming up. Look at verse 21. And as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Wow. Do you hear me? I'm just reading. One of you will betray me. See, in the Passover, according to Josephus, two glasses of wine was passed for everybody. Then the meal. Then another glass of wine. And then the bread, and then the final glass of wine, and then the songs. Here is in the, look at what verse 21 says. And as they did eat, the first cup of wine was passed already, and now the food is there, and the lamb is there, and as they are eating the lamb, Jesus said, rather than being some glorious thanks to God for the lamb, he said, some of you will betray me. Jesus alerted them of what is coming up. And then Jesus caused the disciples to considerate themselves. This brought considerable sadness. Look at verse 22. And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? See, Jesus foretelling that one man would put him in a difficult situation caused the disciples a tremendous sadness. They forgot about the meal, and now they are saying, who is it? Verse 23, Jesus did not reveal directly who the traitor would be. Look at verse 23, and he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Now, young people, don't do this in your home, but in the times of the Old Testament, Jesus did not reveal who the traitor would be, which became clear for the word he will be only one. Now, he said, look at what he said. He said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish. Now, in Spanish, the same style of the Hebrew. Mama bring the salad, put it all there on the table. I put the vinegar and oil and everything, and now we are ready. When Papa got the bread, and he dipped the bread on that oil and vinegar and so on, and put it there and eat, then we all can do it. So now put yourself in that culture. And so when Jesus going to put, everybody is waiting for the master to put the bread and dip the bread in that beautiful presentation of the dish, then the one who do it simultaneously, said the original with me, that's the guy they're going to do it. So Jesus emphasized in an indirect way who is the traitor. Now in verse 24, Jesus emphasized that his death was not a chance. Look at verse 24. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Look at the beginning of the verse. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. Jesus lived his life in direct relationship to the Father, and he moved his foot every day according as it is written in the prophecies of the Old Testament. Oh, no one can do it. Only God can do that. And so the death of Jesus was not a surprise by the Romans. The death of Jesus was not a failure in his administration, or that the disciples were cowards. The death of Jesus was planned by God. So Jesus emphasized that his death is not the chance. And then verse 25, finally, Jesus tells who the one who's going to betray him really is. Look at verse 25. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? The Greek have a funny way to compose this. The Greek said, I am not the one, really? That's the way the Greek say it. And Jesus said, thou hast said. Actually, the Greek said, yes, you are the man. Yes, you are the man. So now you have the background. The Passover feast is coming. Nothing was prepared. Jesus, we're going to do it right now. Boom, 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 boom. There's the place. Now, we all believe in theology that John Mark's father, who was a rich man according to Josephus, yield the place. No security, it's just a guessing. So we don't preach guessing. We preach only what the Bible says. We know that a man prepared the place. And Jesus ate in the mountain. We know that because he was looking to Mount Moriah, Psalm 113, 14, 15, 16, 117, 118 was the song that they have, and the song was at Mount Moriah. No Jew will sing a song unless he sees the mountains. Like the Arabs, when they pray toward the Mecca. The Jew will pray toward the temple. The background is that. Now let's talk about the institution of the Lord's Supper. It was a different feast from the Passover. Why? Because it brought the participants into a direct relationship with his person. Look at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed, he prayed, and break it and gave it to the disciples and said, take it, this is my body, he says. He brought, he said, now you're one with me. Take this bread, and as you take the bread and eat this bread, you are one with me. Now, the word is, this bread is my body, is in the original. Yes, it is. And is should not be interpreted as analogous with the situation under the Old Covenant. In the New Testament, we have no symbols. We have reality. In the Old Testament, we have symbols. So is doesn't mean this is the symbol, my symbol. No, no. He's not going to go back to the Old Testament. You don't interpret the Old Testament with the Old Testament. You interpret the Old Testament with the New Testament. You remember, somebody coined this sentence. The New Testament is in the all contained. And the Old Testament is in the new explained. And if you hold that, you are in secure ground. So what that means when he said, this is my body. What he is saying is, it represents the means by which you will be redeemed. This bread represents my body, and my body is the means by which you're going to be redeemed. No longer by bringing the lamb over and over and over. No longer once a year going into the temple and the holy place and in the holy of holies, and the high priest has to offer for his sin and for the sin of the people. No longer, it's done, it's gone. This is the new way. My body will take your place in Calvary Cross. Wow. Can you imagine? Jewish people saying, wow, they were, no wonder they may shake their head. So the institution was a different because it was a personal thing. It brought the participants into a new covenant with God. Look at verse 27 and 28. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, for this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins. You see, this is my blood of the new covenant, said the original. We are celebrating the old covenant, but we no longer drink the wine as a symbol of the redemption. That wine represents my blood, my life. That cup of wine, those three cups of wines going around and around and around, they were symbolizing blood. And it's not the blood of the lamb, it is me, it is my blood that is going to redeem you. It is my life. So Jesus here presented himself as the sacrifice, the lamb. That is the institution. Now, it was full of sadness and joy. Look at the sadness in verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so Jesus is saying, I don't want to see you anymore. Here Jesus is announcing that an end had come to his companionship with the disciples at the Passover meal. Jesus is saying, until here is the old covenant, from here now is the new covenant. But his companionship will be continued after an interval in a new way in the future. Where? In heaven. Take a look at Matthew 8:11, for example. In the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 8, and in verse 11. Here is mentioned with clarity where Jesus was planning to celebrate the Lord's Supper. I say unto you, he said in Matthew 8:11, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, where? In the kingdom of heaven. So he is really giving us a really break in a calendar. He said the calendar of the old covenant ends right here when I give you my cup. That's the end. The calendar of the new covenant is you take the cup and then one day in heaven you will be sitting with me and celebrating with him. There was not partial. There was a total economy from the day Exodus 12 until Matthew 26, from Matthew 26 until Jesus come again. There was completeness in that. Wow. So there was a little sadness because the disciples, oh, we don't want to have Jesus anymore. But then Jesus announces that he will join them back, as you see in that verse 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit until that day when I drink it new with you at my Father's kingdom and the kingdom of heaven. Jesus doesn't say, well, you will be a time where you will not celebrate the Lord's Supper and will be sadness. And then later on, when you come to heaven, you will celebrate. Jesus did not say that. Jesus gave us a specific instructions that we need as people of God to celebrate in the absence of Jesus these symbols who represent that Jesus died for me and that he is the Lamb of God. Till in heaven, according to Revelation, we join him in the final presentation. Now, what are the implications for us? What is the meaning of all of this? Turn your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, and you will see a help there for our meaning. And I'm going to read that in the New King James Version, but you can follow me. It's very close to the King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. The apostle says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion? That's the word koinonia. You know what the word koinonia means? According to 1 John 1:7, means fellowship. It is not the fellowship of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break is not the communion, the fellowship of the body of Christ. So now we see a church in action, the church of God, the church of Corinth. And the church of Corinth doesn't celebrate the Passover anymore. And there were Jews in the church of Corinth. Now, why the church of Corinth does not celebrate the Passover? Because it was gone. The day that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, that was the celebration. And it's no longer on the 14th day of Nisan, and on the 17th day, and on the 21st day of Nisan. No longer there. As often as you drink, said the apostle. You see the new covenant? It's marvelous. One person was given to many by which they, in turn, will become one. That's the symbol. That's a representation. One person, the Lord Jesus, is given for many, and many will become one in him. That is the representation of the Lord Jesus. And we have to do it, and we have to do it, and we have to do it till he come again. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 26. It's no longer on the 14th of Nisan. It's no longer on the 21st day of Nisan. No, sir. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, as often as ye celebrate, ye do show the Lord's death. You show the representation of the offering of Christ till he comes. Now we have to find out. I do have 2 minutes before the sun. We have to find out when is Jesus coming? And the Bible tells you, right in the book of Acts, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, and then verse 11, my favorite passage in the book of Acts, my brother, is spectacular. I wish I knew how to paint. Look at here. Acts chapter 1, in verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a man is talking to you, a woman is talking to you, and suddenly a cloud comes from heaven, zoop, and takes the person up slowly, standing. The person is looking to you, and is going up, and you're looking. And you say, what in the world happened? Look at verse 10. And while they look steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparels. And that is the language of angels. And look at what he said, verse 11 is my favorite. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, so we know that these are the disciples, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Why are you so shocked? See, these same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now that's when Jesus is coming up, coming down. One day the heavens will be open. One of the greatest things on the west coast of America and the west coast of South America is to see when the sun goes down at the highest speed. I try to calculate the speed, put in a sticker, put in this, put my chronometer, and you know, just for fun. You know, what are you going to do after a whole day running? You want to enjoy yourself and calculate. And it, one day is different than the other. There's a put two sticks and mark the old quadrant of navigation. And for those who know physics, you know how that works. And, you know, it's faster. Within 3.5 minutes, one day, the sun was gone. A big ball like that, bigger than a soccer ball, big. And you know, and then you think it's going to be dark. It was red splendor. Then we take the plane. America West. I just did advertising. I hope they send us some money. Now, I'll tell you. You fly over the ocean. It is 6 p.m. and the sun is down and red over the sky. Imagine a day when the sky is going to be open. And the Bible says, in the same way that he went up, in the same way he's coming down. He's coming down now in white apparel as a king of kings. And he's coming down for you and coming down for me. And the Bible said, those who die before his coming, they will be raised up first. And then we who remain with him together in the cloud. And of course, you have your boarding pass already. And when they say, come in, you show your boarding pass. The boarding pass said, Jesus. That's the boarding pass. Jesus. Yes, the old man and the donkey. Yes. It was an old, what, 33. I wish I were 33 now. I have painted my legs today. So much exercise. But I tell you, without Jesus, we are nothing. Without the church, the plan is incomplete. And then the Savior has failed. But I tell you, he has not failed, neither the church has failed. Oh, some churches, local churches, may fool around with the things of God. But there's still 7,000, say God to Elijah, around who preach the word of God. And they will be always like this until he comes. Meanwhile, we celebrate a representation of that glorious offering of Jesus' body for you and for me. And what is more important is this. There is no day of judgment for the believer. Oh, some people teach this, they accountability, not for the believer. You know who took all upon him? Jesus. Jesus took all our sins, past, present, and futures. People said, then you can do what you want with your life. Try. Try. If you're a believer, fool around. Try. And Papa will come and shake you And if you don't behave, he takes you away. Beloved, we got a great Savior. Today, we celebrate it. Father, thank you. Thank you. That you are in control of every minute of our life. A place was needed and Jesus secured. A place needs to be organized and Jesus organized it. And he spoke the truth, even though it was sad, he spoke the truth. But then, oh Father, he gave us the glory that he's coming again. And his people will be with him without the judgment day in the clouds forever and ever in the kingdom of heaven. All because of Jesus. Father, speak to people. Father, help them to understand the scripture like you did to us. Father, your will is that the church will preach the gospel. We did it this morning. Bless those who listen with the salvation of God. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Take this bread. I give it to you, and as you do, remember me. This bread is my body, broken just for you.
She was not scheduled to sing, but the person who was supposed to be in this place was extremely sick, and I came late last night, and by 11 o'clock we received a call that Carly can talk, me Ram,
And so this morning we talked to Raquel, and I guess the girls talked together, and Ms. Noriel got a tremendous son for us. Thank you, Ms. Noriel. Thank you. Now we're going to call Jovi, Noriel, and Victor, and Brother Dulilo, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Our requirements of the Lord's Supper are very simple. You need to be a believer, you may be seated, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are baptized or not, that's incidental. There is no in the Bible a verse that said that you need to be baptized in order to be a part of the Lord's Supper. And so if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a moment that you will be able to signify by partaking of the Lord's Supper and saying, yes, these represent the way in which I am redeemed. Jesus died for my sins. And we do it in two parts. First, the bread is passed, and is passed to you. I pass it to the deacons. The deacons serve me, and we all partake together. And then the fruit of the vine is passed to you, and then I pass it to the deacons, and we celebrate it together. And we are saying, in this church, in this local church, salvation is only through Christ. Only through Christ. Not by us giving the bread and the cup, but by Christ saving your soul as the Holy Spirit penetrates into your life and give you light and love from above. I want to use a different passage today. I always use Matthew 26 because it's easy to find, 26, but I'm going to use 1 Corinthians 11 in verse 23 to the end. They said, for I have received, said the apostle, of the Lord, that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, that word, had given thanks, writes in this way in Greek, Eucharisto, and translate to Eucharistia in Latin. It's not a formula. It's just when Jesus thanks, when Jesus pray, all right? And when he had given thanks, he break it and said to the disciple, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. No, do this to be saved. All right? See it? Jesus did not say, do this to be saved. He said, do this in remembrance of me. I told you. Let me tell you a formula. If you read it slowly, your King James Bible, you read it slowly, word by word, comma by comma, period by period, you will understand it 99% without error. Praise God for that. And for the people who God brought in the 1600 and translated that beautiful Bible. The deacons may stand, please, as we pass the bread. Joby, would you thank the Lord for his body?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this time and remembrance and celebration of what you did for us on the cross, Lord. We learned in our Sunday school classes today, Lord, the state of man, how ugly that could be. But, Lord, we have your blood, the work of the cross, to cleanse us. And for that, we're grateful because you are truly the only Savior that the world needs and the only true Savior. So today, in this remembrance of you, as we do this to remember what you've done, we give you the honor, we give you the glory, and we praise you, and we thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
My body.